about my job. That's been consistent since I've been here. I don't talk about my job.
Seems like all parties involved actually knew Bowles was going to get fired, not a couple days ago, but a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no, that's good stuff. That's real good stuff.
Dale Arnold.
The cream filling in the Bellani radio sandwich.
No, God! No, God, please, no!
Rich Keefe.
There's a reason they call me Double Take Brad.
That's right, Bobby.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Don't say hot dog, I'm hungry right now.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final half-ish hour. It's like an old Big Show clock, the way I've run it today.
It's all right. We're storming on into 2019.
Exactly. New Year's resolution will be to keep the clock better. Bellani, Ninkovich, Bradford with you. Let's jump right back to these phone calls. Ben in Vermont on the possible Patriots playoff matchups. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, this is Ben from Vermont. I would like to move on from the Texans and talk about Chargers or Ravens in case Colts beat Texans. Who do you think it would be better matchup for Patriots, Chargers or Ravens?
Chargers or the Ravens? Which team would you rather see if you're the Pats?
I'd probably say the Chargers because they got to travel.
Good road team though.
Yeah, they got. I mean, it's a long way to go, but you know, there's time change. So if they play that game, what, at 1 o'clock, they're playing it. Their body's internal clock is, what are they?
10 a.m.
Yeah, 10 a.m. I mean, that's not easy to play at 10.
How many times do you play against Rivers?
A couple.
You played in the AFC Championship game?
Three. I played him three times, I do believe.
Three times, okay. Yeah. I've always sort of baffled by him.
I love him.
And well, he's a tough
guy. I'm a DN, but I love, you know, you sack him and he gets up and he's screaming at his tackle, like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to fan. You know, like, there was one play where I just came off the edge clean as a whistle and the tackle squeezed. So he had a mugged B gap. So a mugged B gap is a linebacker walks up into there's A, B, C gap. A's the next to the center. B's next to the guard. C's next to the tackle for everyone listening. Little educational program here. When you mug, it means you walk up into the A gap or B gap. So you walk up into the B gap. So the tackle either has to make a choice. Well, is this guy blitzing into the B gap? Well, I better just squeeze him. And then that gives the quarterback an extra second. The end is outside the tackle, obviously. So it gives you a second. Second and a half to get to the quarterback untouched. Second, you know, if you're really fast. So they squeeze the B gap. I'm clean off the edge. Rivers, you know, sack him. And he gets up just out of his mind, like just freaking out. And it's just funny. I like him because he's fiery. I like a fiery, you know, quarterback.
Which quarterback talked the most? That was baffling because you guys sack a guy and you're like, yeah, and they just walked away. They walk away. But I like the quarterbacks who, in my experience playing the NFL, I like the quarterbacks who like to talk.
I mean, Rivers wouldn't like, he would talk, but not like, you know, like come after you with stuff.
He's too busy.
He's too
criticizing
thinking
his own
about
teammates.
The next play and yelling at the guys to get going, you huddle up and, you know, let's go. Andrew Luck would like, you know, critique you like, yeah, good hit, that was a good one, and you just smack him and you help him up, and you know, he's very compliment, you know, he's giving you a compliment
kind
for
of sound
hitting
like
him.
Condescending more than complimentary.
Yeah, but no, he's I like Andrew Luck too. I think, you know, you want a quarterback, Andrew Luck's, you know, he's great guy, you know, he can't help but just like the guy. I mean, geez, oh golly, guys, you know, he played really good today, you know, gotta give credit to the whole line, you know. So he's, you know, he's just a,
also he must be so jealous of your beard.
He's got a neck beard that, and he's got the, he's, you know, he's losing it up top, so, you know, a couple of years he'll be,
it's a bad combination,
he'll be gone up top.
Speaking from experience.
Two things for him to worry about. Mike and Narragansett on the Pats' potential playoff opponents. Hey, Mike.
Narragansett, I like that. I drink that a lot.
Hi, this is I think the Patriots receivers are really going to step up big in the playoffs. They had Philip Dorsett had a really awesome game yesterday, and I think the Patriots defense had a really good game. I think TB12 is going to win a Super Bowl this year.
Well, Mike's feeling confident.
See? I get everybody feeling confident,
that's
Chris.
The Bradford influence right there.
I kind of feel like it is.
I hope so. I hope it's true. But would all the fans be ready for TB to throw the deuces? Because if he wins the 6th one, I don't know if he goes for 7.
Ooh, that's a good point.
So if you, I don't know. I mean, that's
that's a tough decision.
It's a tough decision.
Get to the Super Bowl.
You want to see him win a Super Bowl, and then you lose your cute quarterback, and maybe Bill's like, "See you later. I'm done too."
Seriously, do you think that? What do you think? What do you guys think happens if they win a Super Bowl? Both those guys, see you later.
I think Gronk's gone.
Gronk's gone, I think, no matter what.
I think Tommy seriously considers walking away because of the fact that he'd be 42 and he has won the most rings. And then what else do you play for? I don't know.
He's got nothing left to prove right now, but
nothing left to prove unless you get one more Super Bowl ring.
If he gets one more, I think he thinks about it. My guess is he's still back next year. If they don't win, I've said this before, I think Brady not only comes back next year, but I think he has a monster year. Because then I think you get the chip on the shoulder, Brady, that heard some of the criticism this year in the offseason from skipping OTAs to does he not, quote-unquote, look like the same guy. So I think you get a motivated Brady in 2019. Now, if they somehow win a Super Bowl, which I'd say somehow, like it's not, I think they've got a really good shot to at the very least get there. Yeah, maybe he thinks about it a little bit, but if I'm a betting man, I'm still wagering money that Brady's back next
Belichick
season.
Belichick stays.
Belichick's back, yeah. I think he's definitely back. Josh McDaniel's got to wait a little longer for that head coaching job to open up.
He'll be in Green Bay.
All right. Tim in Springfield on Derek Rivers. Hey, Tim. Tim.
Gone.
All right, we lost Tim.
See you later.
Wow, that was an aggressive hang-up.
It was aggressive. All right, 617-779-7937. Quick break. We'll get back to more of your phone calls. Half hour to go. It's Diassi and Smirlis.
That's what I'm told. Word on the street. Word in the hallway.
Smell the cigars from here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, right there in the... If you go to the parking lot right now...
Oh, they're out there,
It's called show prep.
They're sitting on their motorcycle right now. It's 27 even, degrees. They both rode their bike here because it's sunny.
Even the bigger studio will not help the volume of cigar smoke that'll be in the studio from 2 to 6. Get him some brandy. It'll be a classy afternoon show. So that's coming your way. You got Volani, Ninkovic, Bradford with you till then.
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keith. WEEI.
It's Dale and Keith, Volani, Ninkovic, and Bradford with you. 617-779-7937. Before we jump back to the phone calls, Bradford, you brought this up during the break, the tweet exchange between Shannon Sharpe and Matt Chatham over the last few days about Julian Edelman. Edelman was fined $63,000. Dollars for three unnecessary roughness penalties against Buffalo last Sunday, which Sharp pointed out in a tweet. He went on to say, I've said on numerous occasions for years, he's a dirty player. Being small and white gets you labeled gritty, hard-nosed, tough. No, he's dirty. To which Chatham said he catches passes, but also enjoys the physical part of the game, seeks contact. You caught a ton of balls, but shied away from contact. You wouldn't understand that you'd resort to weak, terrible analysis. Very understandable. Sharp called him a jag. Chatham went back at him. And then Dante Stallworth jumped in. It was a much softer disagreement, but he said, Dante Stallworth, that is, that Edelman is not a dirty player. He doesn't try to intentionally injure or hurt anybody. Rob Ninkovic, you obviously have a lot of knowledge about Edelman, the way he plays the game. I've never even had that thought pop in my mind, I guess, that Edelman's a dirty player. Am I missing the boat, or is that something that people maybe that don't suit up with him in the same locker room think about this guy?
No, he's not dirty. He's just a competitor. I mean, that guy's fiery. So, you know, I think Sharp's analysis is not accurate, but, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't accurate out there. It's just the way of the world, I guess. But, I think Julian he's a very, very, very competitive person. He's always going to give his best. And, you know, when he's blocking somebody, he's going to be just that annoying, you know, guy that's just not going to stop. So, you know, again, he'll hold you. He'll, you know, try and grab you. He'll try and do what he's got to do to win the down. And, you know, some people, he's not eye gouging anyone. He's not, you know, trying to choke anyone. Like, he's not doing anything that I would consider dirty. I think dirty is like, you know, a guy that's like Sue, like trying to, you know, stomp someone's head or like eye gouge or, you know, choke or do something that's obviously could damage your, you know, ability to play.
Yeah, you hear about, you brought up Sue. That's the first one I think would jump to everybody's mind. But there's other guys you probably know more than we do in the locker room. That guy's dirty. That guy's dirty. Hey, we're playing that team. That guy's dirty. I had never heard of this about Edelman. He's basically like, maybe not Brad Marchand of the Bruins isn't the best example, because Marchand probably is perceived as a little dirtier than even Julian Edelman. But this guy who is going to do a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah, I would say I don't think Marchand's a good example.
Yeah,
because
probably not.
He is, and he is one of those guys that if you wear a different uniform or a fan of a different uniform, I could see you saying, okay, yeah, he's just dirty. You know, if you want to call him a gamer, or a competitor, or whatever, dirty, some of the things he does are just weird. But he is a player that you could absolutely make that case, whether it's tripping or slew-footing a guy or that kind.
Who is a receiver that's even...
With Edelman, though, I can't see that.
Yeah, well, can you name a receiver that was perceived as dirty? I don't know how you're...
Usually the guy's getting hit.
I mean, maybe Ward from some of the hits that he would put on people from the Steelers.
Maybe. I mean,
you know?
But not like, we hear safeties, we hear linebackers, you know?
No, I mean, I would categorize, you know, like Julian, like... You know, Steve Smith, he played hard and he was fiery. And
that's a good
one. He'd get after people. But I wouldn't consider him dirty. I just think he was aggressive. You know, like, so Steve Smith was an aggressive receiver. Very small guy. Like, when I played against Steve Smith, first time I ran past him, I'm like, really? I thought you were a lot bigger just because based on the way he played, you know. But he was he was feisty, you know.
Yeah, I just don't. That thought's never entered my head about Julian Edelman being a dirty player. Even when I saw the news about the unnecessary roughness penalties,
he does the headbutting stuff, which I think that's what's getting him in trouble. So he knocks your hands away and then like headbutts you, which I mean you can't do that now.
I'm just not a thought I had had. Let's go to Greg in Newton. Actually, wants to chime in on this very topic. Hey, Greg.
I've been saying for 2 years now to my friends that Edelman headbutts people all the time. Every game I see him do it. So I'm not saying it's dirty, but it's not wrong that he does that all the time.
I guess that would be it. I guess that would be the thing that you would point to that, you know, cost him some money. But again, I don't really see it as a dirty play. I see it more a fiery kind of play. And I'd like to think I'd be saying that if he weren't a Patriot. But that's just how I view the way he plays.
Yeah, I think Shannon Sharpe is taking this to extreme, but that's basically why he's sitting in that seat, right?
Why is Shannon sitting in that seat?
He's sitting in the seat because
I thought it was a nice suit.
It's a very his pocket squares are on point.
Yes,
but it's because
is yours today.
Oh my goodness, are you
excellent
on top of my hat? It's amazing. Yeah. But
should have worn the ascot.
The monocle isn't enough.
Not enough. No,
it's okay. Well, who's he on with? He's on Skip Bayless. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. You know how it works. It's like, okay, you take that side, I'll take that side. If they both agree, it doesn't really work.
This is why I don't watch people talk about sports.
I know. It's one of
long-standing
Chris Lalani's. Yes. Do you guys?
Lalani commandments.
What was the, when you're playing, do you listen? Do you watch?
Yeah, I like listening because it's funny sometimes how far off people are. So I'd be like, yeah, they have no idea what they're talking about right now. And then sometimes they're like, yeah, okay, they got to. There's some truth to that, but for the majority of it, you know, there's a lot of hot air out there.
Well,
it's motivating for me. I liked it. Call me a jack, you know, and then try to block me. So
how much do you guys? I remember back in the Rodney Harrison was playing and hearing about how much they would take. Everyone, you would have the list of ESPN people who would pick everyone picked the Patriots, but then there might be two or one that didn't pick the Patriots. Oh, look, everyone's against us. And as media, you know, that's what's comical.
Patriots did a great job, and this is probably, Rob, before your time there, but especially I remember those 03-04 teams did a great job manufacturing the chip on the shoulder.
The parade, the Philadelphia parade.
They lost like three times in 2 years, and you would have thought everybody was against them. They did a great job. Some years, it had a kernel of truth to it. This would absolutely be one of those years where they could say, nobody believed in us or a lot of people didn't believe in us, but there were a lot of years, too, where it's like, you went 14-2, you steamrolled the league. Everybody believed in you. Everybody believed in you. They were good at that.
But there's always going to be the negative. There's always going to be the, you know, people that want to see it. I mean, let's be honest. People outside of New England, they want to see the slide. They can't wait for it. The media outside the New England area can't wait for it. So they're just going to have to be on hold for a while.
That's an industry. the anti-patriot. That's a
of course,
whole
but that's anything
industry,
that's
yeah.
a winner for a long time. People can't wait for it to come the other way. I mean, think about the Cowboys when they were winning a lot. People didn't want to see them win anymore. And then the Bulls, like, I can't wait for them to stop. You know, it's like just, it's natural. People are, people hate.
Maybe I'm weird. I never had that thought. Like, when I was watching Michael Jordan as a kid, I never thought, I don't want to keep watching this guy who's the greatest player I've ever seen.
Well, I was from Chicago, so I loved it. I used to.
There you go.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people that just,
yeah.
I mean, they're fans of whoever they're fans of. You know, think about when the Yankees were good, you know, like, all right, it's time for somebody else to win, you know. So I just think with the Patriots and everything else outside of New England, there's just a lot of jealousy. And, you know, jealousy creates a little bit of hating.
All right.
It's the way of the world.
617-779-7937. We could try to squeeze in another call or two on the other side. We're giving way to Diassi and Smurlis this afternoon. It's Daily Keefe right now, Sports Radio WEEI.
Nonstop wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
And then Dale was like, "Oh, but wait, what are you going to do? You're going to, like, just not have receivers?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" So 11-5, everyone's like, "It's the 2019, the demise, it's falling, the roof is falling." Like, it's like, dude, come on.
Golly, guys, you know, he played really good today. You know, got to give credit to the whole line, you know. Boom, so.
Oh, that's a good one. Holy plus.
Got to have voices. Got to change it up a little bit. Got to be fun. Can't be.
Can you imitate any of your former teammates? Were you that guy? Were you that guy in the locker room? Can you imitate Brady?
Hey, babe. No, Brady's got that. Hey, babe. We win, man. That's to leave. We play to win. I'm going to play off. Yeah. To leave, baby.
He was fun to play with. To leave.
Man. We want to win.
See, that's pretty good.
I like it. I like it. Not too bad at all. Not bad at all.
But the best was the boom sauce.
Boom.
Boom sauce.
There you go.
Yeah. Good stuff.
We're just about ready to give way to Diassi and Smurlis here for the afternoon show. New Year's Eve. We made it the entire time without talking about New Year's plans. Low-key guy?
Boom sauce, baby. I'm low-key. I got some family in town, so I got to do a little show here in a little bit. So Monday Night Patriot, and then I'll go home, and we'll just, you know, hang out. I got the kids. They won't be up for the New Year. Maybe they will. I don't know. But
how old?
5 and 2. The 2 won't make it. 5, she's nuts, so maybe she will.
Maybe. Bradford, I know you're going to be up.
I just keep her up until she passes out anywhere. Like, last night, I was like, you're off. No school. Fall asleep. She, like, fell asleep in the dining room. Like, all right.
Perfect.
That's probably
where it works.
There's a beanbag in there with a little TV. It's okay.
Yeah.
Beanbag and TV.
I like the background music coming in. I like it.
Yeah. It'll play us off.
That's right.
Play us out here. Bradfo, you're going to be out boom saucing it?
Yes. I'll be upstairs while my son has his little party.
There you
I'll
go.
Be watching Netflix and drinking boom sauce.
Absolutely.
In my
nice. They call that a very Bradfo New Year.
Nothing says sad sports journalist like me.
Everyone be safe. I want Nico. Yes. Everyone be safe tonight. Don't be stupid and make a dumb decision.
Always important. Rob Ninkovich, great to see you today. Happy New Year. Thanks for swinging in.
Thank you. Happy New 2019 coming up.
Yes, absolutely.
Pretty soon.
It's your Volani and Ninkovich.
Bradford will probably have 17 shows together in the next month, so I'll see you soon.
I look forward to it.
Absolutely. I'm Chris Volani. Thanks to Chris Scheim for producing today. We have got Steve Diassi, Fred Smurlis coming your way next. Stick around.
Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.